Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
I'm Larry Kreider here with Merle Shank. Today we want to talk about the leadership principle of making disciples or coaching or mentoring or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I was on an airplane some years ago and I was sitting with this guy and he'd been to ask me what I do.
Okay.
And I said, well, he's a business guy, and I said, I mentor Christian leaders throughout the world. And he said, that's really interesting, because I figured he wouldn't understand disciples, so I used the word mentor.
Right.
He said, that's interesting. He said, I'm part of one of the largest airline corporations that makes airplanes in the world.
Oh, wow.
And he said, we haven't had a problem. I said, what was that? He said, we lost an entire generation of leadership in our corporation. I said, what do you mean? He said, we learned that we had not been mentoring the next generation. They weren't carrying the values of our company. And he said, we made a decision that in the future, we will never again allow anyone to go up to the next level of leadership unless they're busy mentoring, involved in mentoring the next generation in our company.
Wow.
And I thought, Whoa.
Boy, that's something to a lot of churches.
Exactly.
Adopt that.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm thinking, Wow, that's what we need. That's what Jesus taught, you know.
That's what Paul taught, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:2.
He did.
Tells Timothy to find faithful men who will teach others, right?
Who will teach others also. It's that generational thing of four generations of making disciples. Jesus, obviously, I mean, what did he tell the disciples and all of us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples.
It's interesting in Matthew 28 there, because it says go and make disciples. And then I see it as he kind of describes what a disciple
right.
is. Number one, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there's a salvation experience.
Yes.
But then teaching them to obey
yep.
all the things I've commanded you, or teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you to do. So there's a salvation experience, there's baptism. But then there's the teaching part of obedience, specifically, not just teaching head knowledge, but becoming obedient. And man, there's so many times that the Bible talks about the blessings of the Lord and how they're tied into obedience. And they're also the judgment of God and how it's tied into disobedience.
Yeah.
You know, I was just preaching about that the other day, you know, about you know, for this reason the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The sons, they're in the family.
Right.
But of disobedience, just how important that obedience is.
And sometimes the disobedient don't even know it because they haven't been discipled.
Right.
And I grew up in my generation way back in the day in the Billy Graham era.
Yeah.
And Billy Graham, you know, millions come to Christ. And Billy Graham had a huge concern when he was a young evangelist that so many people were coming to Christ. But a month, 2 months, a year later, you couldn't find them anywhere in the church or anywhere because they were not discipled. I remember reading he met with Dawson Trotman, who founded the ministry of the Navigators, and his whole ministry call was making disciples. He said, how do we do this?
Yeah.
And I remember when I read some of Dawson Trotman's stuff years and years ago, it changed my life. And I was just, you know, I fairly young in the Lord myself, but I realized we're not just called to evangelize. We must make disciples, help people grow in God.
Let's talk about that, because that term is thrown around so much today. Discipleship, disciple. Everyone and anyone who, you know, subscribes to the Bible to follow it would say yes and amen.
Yeah.
But what does that really look like? Yeah. What is that practical, you know, teach this generation, you know, the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings, like, what does a practical discipleship relationship look like?
It's, you know, most of it happens behind the scenes.
Okay.
You know, Jesus did it so well because he had the 12, and of course he had the 70 disciples, or 72, depending on your translation of the Bible.
Right.
And he had the three, Peter, James, and John. Yeah, he had John. He had all these levels of relationship.
Yeah.
And so he was taking Peter, James, and John places, you know, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, for example. He didn't take the other nine because he had known from the Father, he had prayed all night, you know, with the Father, who were those that he was called to pour his life into. He ministered to multitudes. We're all called to help lots of people, but we need to know who are those few people during this season of our lives that we're called to pour our lives into, and what does that look like? I always laugh when I see churches have discipleship classes. I always laugh inside because, I mean, their hearts are right, but you can't really do it in a class. It's not like you're standing there teaching 20 people, I'm discipling you. No, that's teaching. Teaching's great.
Teaching's good, but it's not necessarily discipleship.
It's not, and it's also not just counseling. Because counseling helps someone work through a problem, and that's important. Mm. Jesus is the counselor. He lives inside of us, but that's not making disciples. You mentioned 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, where Paul told Timothy, the things you've learned from me, you impart to faithful men who impart to others also. Unless the disciple is doing what you're doing, unless they're doing what they're learning from you, unless they're doing that to the next generation, they're really not disciples.
Wow.
So the way most of it is one-on-one, or maybe one and two, or one and three. You know, it was Jesus and John, and Jesus and James and John, and and Peter. And but it's not just having classes. And I believe in classes. We need preaching. We need classes. But that's not making disciples. Right. So the key is, first of all, Jesus prayed all night in the midst of all his friends, probably 120. We don't know how many, 70. We don't know. And said, who of these should I really pour my life into? And the Father showed him the 12. He called them apostles. Yeah. And these guys had huge issues. Yeah. I mean, one was demon-possessed. We know that. Judas Iscariot and on and on. Yeah. But they're the ones that God called him to pour his life into. Yeah. So we know who, first of all. That's where it starts.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that, you know, Jesus prayed. And that's the only thing that we ever have record of the disciples asking Jesus of how, you know, teach us to pray.
Exactly.
And I think today we teach Bible, we teach, concepts, we teach people that, hey, this is what salvation means.
Yes.
But do we take them with us to pray?
Right.
Do we take them with us, you know, do they see us pray?
Right.
Do they see a passion for the Word of God, for prayer, our prayer life?
Yes.
And that's, you know, like, I mean, you know, one of our core principles is that the kingdom of God is going to come on the earth through prayer, evangelism,
and making
discipleship. And that,
and planting churches.
That will, that will result in planting churches.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so how, I think that's important. Like, what are some things that you would ask somebody when you're discipling them?
Okay. I ask lots of questions because Jesus constantly asks questions. So I'll ask them questions about their walk with God. I have questions about their prayer life. I'll ask them questions about things they're struggling through, sin issues, things they're struggling through, what about your thought life, on and on. And I'll ask them about, are you taking what I'm giving you and placing that in somebody else? Is there somebody else you're discipling? Right. So, I mean, I got a list of questions. I've written in my books, you know, a list of questions. Yeah. Just don't ask them all at the same time. It's one at a time,
Here's 32 questions.
But I've used all kinds of books. I've taken people through books. And I'm usually, if it's a new Christian, you probably should connect with them once a week. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you might want to text them daily and talk to them, but I mean, just sit down, even if it's an hour, it doesn't be long, but you're really hearing their hearts. What are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? You know, what's going on? And how can, here's what I've learned. And really, the older I get, the less I tell people what to do. I used to say, okay, I'm walking with the Lord now, saying, here's what I learned. You do this, this, and this, and this. Well, maybe, maybe not. Now I'll say, here's what the Word of God says. Show them what the Scripture says. Here's my story. Here's what I learned. Now you go and obey Holy Spirit and do what He's told you to do. And that way, it's God showing them, not us telling them what to do. And I found this made a huge, huge difference. Wow. Others, discipleship relationships, there's different levels. People say, is it mentoring? Is it coaching? You know, what is it? Well, mentoring, coaching, all those things, counseling is all part of making disciples. But making disciples, I use the term often, being a spiritual father, being a spiritual mother. You know, it's the same thing, same deal, Merle. Yeah. And basically, we're helping them grow, taking their next steps of faith. Now, other levels, I'm with Christian leaders, you know. And then we're not dealing with those basics because they walk through that. We still ask some hard questions, but we're helping with leadership principles. What are the things you're dealing with? And here's what I've learned about that. And it's just, I was so blessed over the last few years to have some older mentors in my life. I didn't have it for years. And I've realized how much that has helped me. Just somebody who will listen to me, who will pray with me, and be there for me. And it's a form of discipleship and mentoring.
You know, for so long, I think there was a season, maybe, at least in the West, in the church in the West, that you know, it was kind of like, well, don't let people get too close.
Right.
You know, they'll see familiarity right. breeds contempt. That, you know, kind of that, you know, moving in that vein. Where,
right.
And so this is really opposite of that spirit.
It is.
You know, and that's...
Well, the church is built on the family principle. I tell people, if you understand the family mm-hmm. and how functional families operate, you understand the church.
Right.
Because you're helping your natural kids, your spiritual kids. And so if you see it that way, and then they grow up, you know, and you don't respond the same way to a 5-year-old that you do to a 25-year-old.
Right.
Or
right.
somebody who's married and has their own family. I don't go and tell my kids who are married how to run their homes. Yeah. But I'm there when they ask questions, and I'll pray for them, and I'll give insight. We'll do that. So you have to really monitor, understand, where are they at in their spiritual life? What level right. are they at in their spiritual life?
Right.
So spiritual fathering, mothering, discipleship looks different on different levels.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not always easy, is it?
It's not always easy.
I mean, that's the thing, is to keep doing it even after a spiritual child, you know, a son or daughter has kind of hurt you.
Yep.
Or maybe spurned some of your advice.
Yep. Just,
you
know, oh, yeah.
But then, you know, I find many times if they were really a true son or daughter, they come back.
They'll come back. I've seen that again and again and again and again. I mean, I've had situations where someone I've worked with for years, and then they all at once just didn't like some input I gave them. And it wasn't controlling at all. I was just trying to help them. Right. And said, well, I don't know if I want you speaking in my life anymore, you know. And so you never get to the place where it's perfect.
Right.
We're always learning and growing. And, you know, Paul did this, and he had issues with it. Jesus did it. And I look at his disciples. They all left him except one.
Right.
You know? But they all came around then, except Judas, obviously,
right.
in the end. But discipleship is so important. And here's the important thing. These things happen behind the scenes.
Yeah.
These things happened. It's not to the adoring public. Mm. It's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's just taking those steps of faith and helping people grow step by step by step. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So discipleship is teaching what Jesus has taught you.
Yes. Yes.
Embracing prayer.
Yes.
Embracing evangelism.
Yes.
Reaching out. So getting them to take what you're giving them and have them give that to somebody else.
Yeah.
Which is a really healthy principle.
It's important. I remember a young man that I was mentoring for years, a young married guy, and I remember one day, I often do it at a restaurant. I just meet for breakfast at a restaurant or whatever.
Right.
Some people just get coffee. Some people just get someplace and pray, whatever works for them. Everyone's different. But I remember the morning he said to me, okay, I caught it. Now, you've been doing this for me and helping me grow. I'm going to go find somebody else. I thought, yes, that's it.
That's it.
That's what
that's
it's all
it
about.
Right there.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to the leader out there who has, you know, maybe gotten hurt by a spiritual son or daughter.
Yes, yeah.
Or a spiritual father. There's a lot of that.
Oh, been a lot of abusive.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to emphasize so much. This is making disciples is not telling people what to do. It's showing them what the Word of God says. It's living the life before them. Mm. Is being there for them, encouraging them, helping them. And if there's sin, you've got to call it out. Of course we do. But we do that even with the expectation of redemption. It's all going to turn around in their lives and everyone's life for good.
Right, yeah. You know, it's interesting, and this, just throw this in here at the end, is there's almost two systems mm-hmm. of ministry that I have observed mm-hmm. Within the whole discipleship movements and mentorship movements. And one is like very much family oriented, very much, hey, I want my spiritual children to go much further than me.
Yes, that's the heart.
I want
that's
them
the
to, you know, stand on my shoulders and go further in God than I've ever gone.
Yes, yes.
And then there's those who are more empirical, where they're building an empire and they're using spiritual sons and daughters to kind of build an empire. And I've seen a lot of woundedness come out of structures like that.
So many.
And the amazing thing is, Larry, that they use the same language.
Yes.
It's the same, you know. You can think you're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, one's based on control, the other's based on release.
Yeah.
And they're day and night with the same terms.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I think it's, help the young leader, maybe who is in a system like that, not be that. So, you know, not to reject the system, but how do you not be that controlling leader?
Well, I think you need the grace of God in your life, obviously. Yeah. We ask God for grace that we would simply desire to pour into the next generation in a way that they can go much further than God than we could ever go. You said it clearly here, Merle. And I think also being open and getting input from others. I ask people to speak into my life. I mean, when I'm in other countries, you know, week after week, even there, and for cultural reasons, whatever. Okay, did I say anything here that was offensive I shouldn't have said?
Yeah.
Okay, because
you
can do that without even knowing it, even with the right heart.
Right, right.
So I would say God has called us to have the heart of a spiritual father who truly cares about releasing the next generation. Now, here's the test. You'll know whether or not you're doing it right when they feel called to do something that's different than you were hoping they would do.
Mm.
And that's the test. So there's a pastor of a church, and this youth leader is amazing, and I think this person could be an amazing elder or whatever, and they feel called to go plant a church. They say, oh, you can't do that. You're helping me. No, no, it's not helping me. It's building the kingdom. And that's the test. And we all in leadership face that.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are, say you're in your 20s or whatever age, it doesn't matter, and maybe you've been hurt by a spiritual leader, I just want you to know that God's grace will heal you and give you grace not to be the kind of spiritual leader that perhaps you've been hurt by. And you can forgive them and release them and let God deal with them and go on and just see that curse broken and see healthy leadership, see healthy fathering and mothering, healthy discipleship instead of that which has happened in the past. And for those of you that are in leadership, and you may have some people that you weren't quite sure how to deal with, and you weren't quite sure how to disciple. I mean, you have grace to make disciples like Jesus and grace to make disciples like Paul, grace to make disciples where you're believing that as Elijah gave Elisha a double portion, they'll have a double portion and go twice as far in God as you could ever go. So maybe grace on your lives. May we together join hands around the world and make disciples for the sake of the kingdom
Thank
of God,
Jesus.
Because that is the call of God that God has in each of our lives as leaders and future leaders and potential leaders for His glory. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.